Hope you got your Bible tonight. Take it and go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Is this on, Lance? Catching me? There have been a lot of men throughout history who have been hung for different reasons. Some men are lifted up. Some men are looked down upon. Some have been hung in groups. All right. I think of Nathan Hale. He was hung. But here in America, we kind of look highly upon him a little bit. Born in Connecticut, 1755, Hale was caught up in the turmoil of the American Revolution. He joined the Continental Army in 1775 and in September of 1776, volunteered to spy on the British in New York. Captured, Hale was hung on September 22nd, 1776. He may or may not have uttered these famous words. We don't know for sure, but it's believed that he said, "I regret that I have but one life to give for my country." We look up on him, oh man, it's a good man. You know, he gave his willing to sacrifice his life for his country. He knew he was going into danger. He knew what he was doing and did it anyways. But then there's some other incidences that happened. We've got the Dakota hanging. Okay, the largest mass execution in American history took place on December 26, 1862. The U.S. government hanged 38 Dakota Indians for murder and rape during the Dakota War, formerly known as the Santee Uprising. In August 1862, starving Dakota tried to force settlers off the Minnesota lands. The Indians had seceded to the government in exchange for supplies that never arrived. More than 600 settlers, between 1 to 300 Indians, and more than 100 soldiers died in the conflict. A military commission sentenced 303 surrendered Indians to death. President Lincoln, though, recognizing that executing Indians for fighting Americans would establish a dangerous precedent for his own troops, since he was on the verge of civil war here coming soon, he commuted the sentences of any Indians whose crimes were related to battles, upholding execution only for those convicted of rape or murder of civilians. Then, after making a first move toward defining war crimes, the government hung 38 men in Mankota, Minnesota. Then there's Raymond Neal Combs, Jr. Anybody know who he is? All right, not too many people know. What was that? Yeah, no, he wasn't. He was an American stand-up comedian, an actor and game show host. He was the host of the TV game show Family Feud from 1988 to 1993. He also hosted Family Challenge and made a number of other TV appearances. He was on the wrestling, WWE or WWF, one of those, you know, wrestling shows. On June 1st, 1996, right after, this is a few years after he was taken off Family Feud and then replaced because ratings were going down, he was having some struggles. Police were called to Combs' home at 1318 Sonora Avenue in Glendale, California, over reports of a disturbance. Combs had reportedly destroyed most of the inside of his house and had also been banging his head against the walls, though Combs later told the police that he had just fell in the jacuzzi. He was taken by police to Glendale Adventist Medical Center, where he was assessed by a medical doctor and placed on a 72-hour psychiatric observation hold. On June 2nd of 1996, around 4:10 a.m., hospital personnel discovered Combs hanging by his bed sheets in his closet. They took Combs to the emergency room, where he was pronounced dead upon arrival. There's many a man and different people that have hung for different various reasons. Tonight, we're going to look at four men who all hung on a tree on the same day, some of them for different reasons. We're going to look at that tonight. Let's go to God in a word of prayer before we get into our scripture. Lord, we just ask that you meet with us tonight. Be with me. Give me the right words to say. May you be lifted up and your word be honored tonight, and help folks to learn something from you, Lord, not necessarily from Jason Dunbar. Lord, just may you be honored tonight and bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at Matthew 27, verse 34 to 38. They gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other, and another on the left." First man we're going to see that hung from a tree is Jesus. Jesus. He was the only one that hung from a tree that day that did not deserve to be there. He had no reason to be there. He was perfect, sinless. He had lived a sinless, perfect life, and yet he still went there. Look over in 22 and 23. It's what Pilate has to say about him. Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They said unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." Another passage we find, he says, "I find no fault in him." There was nothing, no reason for him to put him on the cross. And he asked the scribes, he asked the Pharisees, he even questioned Jesus. So part of me thinks and wonders, did Christ keep his mouth closed because he knew he could easily have gotten out of it? He knew exactly what needed to be said. I mean, really, he could have just walked out of there if he wanted to. All right. But the Bible tells us he laid his life down for us. I believe when he got up to that cross and they put that cross down, I believe every man up to Jesus, it was a fight to get them. Those soldiers grabbed those arms and put them down as they nailed them. I think Jesus went there, laid down and laid that arm, said, "Fellas, you don't need to grab this." And they just put that nail in that hand, and then he went like this, and they put the nail in the other. He crossed his feet. Those soldiers didn't have to hold him down. It wasn't a struggle. The only man who didn't need to be there. I think the other people saw that he's a righteous man. He doesn't deserve to be hanging from that tree. The centurion, when he died, he recognized surely this was the Son of God. He knew it. Well, that means he knew he's a righteous man. He's a righteous man. The thieves. We know one of the thieves realizes this isn't just a regular man. This is Jesus. This is the Son of God. Some of his followers were there. They knew he didn't deserve to be there. And let's get real. We all know the chief priests, the Pharisees, the scribes, all those guys, they put him there because of hatred. But deep down, they knew he doesn't deserve to be there. He's the only man who didn't deserve to be there. Why was he there then? He's there for you. He was there for me. He was there for the rest of the world. He had to be there. If he didn't go there, we'd all still be in our sin tonight. Every man and woman would still be in their sin. There would be no forgiveness of sin, and man would still be headed to hell. We'd still have to go to the Jewish temple and offer sacrifices for our sin on a yearly basis. But he was there to bore the sin of all mankind so that we could just have a chance to escape hell. If he didn't hang on that tree and die, be buried for 3 days, go to hell, get captivity captive, raise again 3 days later, we'd still be dead in our sin. But he had to do it, and it had to be done that way. He had to be that sacrifice, and he provided a way so that we could escape hell. The one man that day didn't deserve to hang from a tree, but he chose to hang from that tree. He chose to be there. As the song says, he could have called 10,000 angels. Yeah, he could have. He could have taken them down, and in fact, if he wanted to, he could have just stepped right down himself. But the Son of God chose to stand there and stay there and die for us. How about the next man? Go to Luke 23. We saw there were two other men, one on his right, one on his left. You can keep your finger in Matthew. We'll be back there. Luke 23. Look in verse 39. It says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, 'If thou be Christ, save thyself and us.' But the other answering..." Now, we didn't read this part in Matthew yet, but both of those guys were saying stuff to Jesus up before this. They both were shouting stuff at him, which I'm thinking, you yourself are hanging on a cross in pain, suffering, but you got enough energy to yell at the guy that's right next to you? But you know what? I get where they're going. They're saying, hey, if thou be the Christ, they're thinking, hey, if you're the Christ, save yourself. And hey, save us with you. Like, they deserve to be saved. They were thieves. They were supposed to be there. But they wanted to get off of there. I get that. Both these guys are doing it. But the repentant one, he had a change of heart. He had a change of heart. Let's keep reading verse 40. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. We see the repentant malefactor, this repentant thief. He realizes he's been spewing stuff at Jesus for a couple hours, and all of a sudden it hits him. I deserve to be here. He doesn't. I need to get right. I need to get right. He realized my punishment, you know, it may have seemed harsh. He only stole something. He didn't kill a man, and here he is having to be put to death, not just put to death, but put to death a horrible, gruesome way. There's plenty of descriptions of doctors describing what happens on a crucifixion. You can easily look it up and read it. It's a horrible death. And you think, man, a thief deserved that? According to their law, he did. And he maybe thought, this is too harsh of a punishment, but he was there. He was paying for what he did. He was found guilty, and he finally at some point realized, I'm guilty. As he's hanging there, I deserve this. I deserve to be here. There's no shadow of a doubt. That man doesn't deserve to be here. That Jesus doesn't deserve to be here, but I do. And he finally asks the Lord for repentance, for forgiveness. He repents and asks him for forgiveness, and he gets it. He gets it. You know, every saved person, we like him, deserve the harsh punishment for our sin. Every man, woman, and child deserves a harsh punishment for sin. And there's people, you talk to them and you say, you know, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. And you're going to, well, isn't that a little harsh, you know? I only did a little sin. I had a man tell me when I told him, I said, I got saved at 9 years old. He said, what really bad things did you have done by 9 years old? I said, doesn't matter. I sinned. I said, it doesn't matter if it's just disobeying my parents. The Bible says, obey your parents, and I didn't do it. It's a sin. I said, well, I wasn't just sin against them, but sin against God. I said, it doesn't matter what I did, if it was little or big, it's sin. It's sin. And at some point, he realized his predicament and repented. He repented. The one man repented. He realized, you know what? The man sitting right, hanging right next to me is Jesus. And I can get forgiveness. I don't know what he had heard about him. Look, Jesus was well known through the area. I would think he had heard something about him. I mean, look, he's a thief. He's not a good person. And you know what? There's a lot of people. You go through the Gospels, there were a lot of bad people, the publicans and the sinners. Jesus spent time with them because he wanted to see them come to him. He wanted them to get right. So I'm sure that those publicans and sinners went back to their friends and said, hey, I met somebody that changed my life. I'm not going back to the old ways anymore. I'm a new person. I don't know. Maybe it finally clicked hanging there on that tree that I need to go and I need to get right with this man, Jesus. He can forgive me. You know what? He was saved spiritually, but he still had to die physically. He still died physically. Just a few, I don't know how many hours later, but shortly thereafter, they come up and they break his legs and he ends up dying. But that man repented, so he got to escape hell because spiritually he was revived. Spiritually he was revived. Every Christian's like this thief. Every single one. If you're a Christian here today, if you're saved, you are like that thief. You are dying. Hey, we're dying. We say we grow old, we get, we're living, but really we're just getting closer to that death point physically. And spiritually you're dead, and you finally realize, I need that Savior. I need that Savior because I'm going to just die in my sin. And so, you know what? We, like him, called out, said, save me. And you got saved. Now, you're still going to die physically unless, hey, Lord willing, maybe the rapture will happen here before the year's over. Then you'll get to escape it. Won't have to worry about death. But if he prolongs his coming, we're all going to taste death one day, just like that man did shortly thereafter. But spiritually, we're on our way to heaven. We're saved. We don't have to worry about hell. Praise the Lord. You know what else I notice about this man? Here he is, hanging on a cross, suffering. Look what he does. He witnesses to the other thief. Now, it's a feeble attempt, okay? I mean, he's not sitting there giving them, the Romans Road. Obviously, it wasn't written yet. He couldn't do that. It'd be kind of hard. But he's trying to just, and hey, let's give the man some credit. You have some nails in your hands and in your feet, hanging and suffering and been hanging there all that time, trying to catch your breath. You witness to somebody. That'd be kind of hard to do. It just would be. But let's look back, see what he does. But the other answering, in verse 40, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, he says, hey, we deserve this. We should be here, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He's trying to point him to Jesus. And so much so, he doesn't just give him his testimony. He shows him his testimony because he's sat right there in front of the man. Goes, Lord, remember me when thou goest and come into thy kingdom. He gets saved right in front of him. So here he is witnessing right up to his dying breath. That's an example for us, folks. You know what we should be doing? Witnessing. Witnessing. We need to be telling others about Jesus. Look, why keep us here on earth if, well, you're saved, boom, why not take us right to heaven, right? Because he wants us to serve him. He wants us to do something for him. I mean, God could have taken this thief on the cross right away as soon as he died. He could have said, hey, boom, let's go. He's saved. We'll just put him out of his misery so he doesn't have to suffer anymore. Now, we don't know if he said anything else, but maybe he said something else to that guy. Said, hey, man, you know we're going to die soon. Look what Jesus just did for me. He'll do it for you. I don't know. He might have, maybe he didn't have the strength, maybe he didn't, but he set an example. That's what we're supposed to do. We should be going out right up to our dying day, letting people know, hey, look what Jesus did for me. He saved my soul, he'll save yours. He'll save yours. We need to be like that thief that gave a witness. You know, you say, I have a struggle witnessing. Yeah, so did he. So did he. You know what? Sometimes the best witness is just, hey, give them a scripture and then tell them what you did. Say, this is what I did. I called out. I've heard a lot of different testimonies in my life, just different people. And yet you think, oh, man, this person probably got a great one. And it was a simple prayer that they, I hear they prayed. But you know what? As we know, it's not the prayer you pray. It's mean it. If you mean it. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The heart. Heart and the mouth. Because you can pray the best prayer in the world, but if you don't mean it, it's nothing. It's worthless. All right, let's look at the next guy, the unrepentant malefactor. Go back to Matthew chapter 27. Sad case here. Matthew 27, verse 39. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, I mean, it's just piling on. You got this group mocking Jesus. You got another group mocking Jesus. Now the guys are hanging on the cross next to him mocking him. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Cast the same in his teeth. We've got the unrepentant thief here who he deserved to be there. Just like the other man, he may have thought, this is too harsh of a punishment. All I did was steal something. I didn't hurt anybody. I didn't kill anybody. I just stole something, but you're going to hang me on a cross and kill me this way. This ain't right. I don't deserve to be here. You know what? In fact, I'm so miserable, I'm going to mock this Son of God. He rejected Jesus as a Savior. As we just pointed out, he had the other thief point him to him and say, hey, he doesn't deserve to be here. We deserve to be here. He got to witness firsthand the man repent. So he saw the example. This is what I need to do. And yet he just continued to mock. Because he thought, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to be here. I need to get off this cross. You, Jesus, get off that cross and take me with you. He's every sinner that's gotten the gospel but said, nope, I don't want it. I don't need that Jesus. I don't need that Jesus. I'm fine without him. What's sad is there's a lot of folks, they get the gospel once, and they say, nah, that Jesus, it ain't for me. Had the opportunity to get right, and they rejected it. See, they were dying the whole time. They're going to die no matter what. But they chose to reject him. Chose to reject him. It's a sad case. This man's a sad case. He didn't have to die in his sin. He didn't have to die and go straight to hell. But that's what happened. We think about that. As soon as he died, they broke his legs. He crumbled. He couldn't lift up anymore to try to get that air. Started losing oxygen. He died and his soul went straight to hell. Didn't have to happen, though. Didn't have to happen. Just like a lot of people out there reject Jesus. Hey, we still need to give it to him, though. And we still need to try to give it to him again. It's okay to give it. Hey, just because you gave it to him once doesn't mean you can't give it to him a second time or a third time or a fourth time. We need to try to continue to give him every opportunity. I know it's difficult sometimes because, man, sometimes people, they're harsh. They're cruel about it. And they're nasty to you. And you're just kind of like, man, I don't know if I want to do that again. But if we think about it, if they don't repent, they're going to go to hell. They're going to go to hell. And there's nobody I want to see go there. There's nobody that I have that much animosity to that I go, man, I want to see them. No. No. We shouldn't want to see him go there. Then there's the fourth man. Go to first part of the book, Matthew 27. One more man who hung from a tree. And honestly, this is the saddest case. My opinion is the saddest case. Verse 1, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Four men hung that day, three on a cross, one from a noose. What's sad is Judas went straight to hell. And Judas didn't have to go there. Aside from Jesus, all right, we don't know much about the thieves. We know a lot about Jesus. We all kinds of things about him. You can learn about him, all right? But we know a little bit about Judas, a little bit more than what we know about the thieves. Well, for starters, he was one of the 12 disciples who followed Jesus daily, seeing his works. Daily. Think about it. He saw him heal the sick. If you got COVID, you could have gone to Jesus and it would have been healed immediately. Like, no more cough. Your smell would have returned. Your taste would have returned. All of it, okay? You had a stomach ache, healed instantly. The lame, they were walking. You had people, they were lame from birth, and yet Jesus, boom, healed them. He saw that, okay? I believe he saw the men tear up the roof, lower that man down to Jesus, and Jesus just look at him and say, take up that bed, rise up and walk. He got to see those people healed, the blind. He saw Jesus take that mud, that dirt and clay, spit in it, make some mud, smear it in a guy's eyes, say, go wash. And the man could see. And then Jesus did, I mean, he didn't always do it the same. Kind of cracks me up how he, you know, well, I'll heal a blind man this way, and then this blind man, I'm going to heal him differently, and then this blind man, I'll heal him. He got to see 10 lepers come to him, and Jesus say, hey, go show yourselves to the priest. And then one man come running back to say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Judas looked down, and that man was, there's nothing left, no spots left on him. I believe those lepers, all right, leprosy, it eats away, and you start losing appendages, your nose would fall off, your ears, you know, fingers. I believe if that man had anything missing, I believe it was restored. When Jesus does something, he does it right, okay? He doesn't just, you know, oh, I'll heal you of your disease. No, he puts it all back where it's supposed to be. And I think if that man had missing fingers, he was going, I got all my fingers again. I got all my toes again. I got my ears. He was totally healed. And Judas saw that man come back to Jesus and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. He saw the deaf hear. Saw the deaf hear. Yeah, saw the deaf hear. Saw the blind see again. Saw the mute man be able to talk. They couldn't talk, and all of a sudden, boom, they're speaking. He saw him feed 5,000 people. 5,000 men plus women and children. That's quite a feat with just a couple loaves and fishes. And if that wasn't enough, he also fed 4,000 later on again. So he's got two times where he fed a multitude of people with just a small amount of food. He saw the dead raised to life. Now that's a miracle, okay? I mean, all those other things, yeah, those are great miracles, but dead is dead. You can't do anything with dead, and yet, boom, brought him back to life. You can do something with dead if you're the giver of life. He cast devils out of people. Maniac of Gadara. Saw that man screaming and in chains, and all of a sudden, boom, he's in his right mind. Gets clothed. He witnessed all those things. Saw Jesus walk on the water. And Peter say, hey, Lord, let me come out. If it's you, bid me come out. Jesus said, come on, Peter. Sees Peter get out of the boat and start walking on the water to Jesus. He saw that stuff. He saw Jesus calm creation with just a few simple words of peace be still. And that boisterous sea, that storm, all of a sudden just gone. There was no sign of it disappearing until Jesus spoke those words. He saw all that. He saw some great things that we never saw. He heard the word of God preached from the mouth of God. Not just a great man, not just a great preacher. From the mouth of God, he got to hear the word of God preached. He got to personally sit at Jesus' feet and get taught. He got to personally ask Jesus questions and receive an immediate answer from him. Now, the question I'm thinking of that he asked was about the money. And the Bible even tells us that, you know, he wanted to put a little in his pocket, but Jesus kind of rebuked him there. But he got an answer. Jesus spoke to him right away. We also know he was the keeper of the money for Jesus and the disciples. But we also know him as the betrayer of Jesus. For 30 pieces of silver, he said, yeah, I'll lead you to him. You know what I think Judas thought? I'll make some money. I probably won't be able to follow Jesus anymore, but he'll get away with it. they're not going to do anything to him. He hasn't done anything wrong. So I'll get some money and I'll be able to pocket it. And hey, you know, I've had a great time with Jesus, but if I don't follow him anymore, I got 30 pieces of silver. I'm on my way. You know, no big deal. They'll have them. You know, they might give him a hard time for a little bit, but they got nothing to hold against him. There's no reason they can do anything to him. He'll get off. Because as we just read, he comes back, gives them back that money, and is begging, let him go. He's not done anything wrong. And now he realizes what he did. He betrayed him. He betrayed him. The thing is I don't think he saw Jesus as the Son of God. I think he just saw Jesus as a good man. His whole life, I think he just thought, just another man of God, another prophet. No big deal. He's not, you know, he's doing good stuff. And we've seen the Old Testament. We've seen in the prophets things that they did, and Moses and what he did. And Jesus, just another one of them. He didn't see him as the Son of God. That would have made the difference. It would have changed his life if he realized that's the Son of God. But he didn't do that. See, all those sinners that needed forgiveness from Jesus as a Savior, those were publicans. Those were bad people. Those were sinners. I'm not that bad. I don't need to be like them. And the sad thing is, he never repented. He never got right, and he went and committed suicide, and he went straight to hell. And he didn't have to go there. He knew who Jesus was. He didn't have to go there, but he chose to. You know who I think Judas is like? He's a lost sinner who's been witnessed to time and time and time and time and time and time again. He's that sinner who knows Jesus, heard about Jesus, knows that he was born in a manger, knows that he died on the cross, has heard that he died on the cross for our sins, has been witnessed to time and time again, hardens his heart and says, that's not for me. I don't need him right now. Maybe later. Maybe later. And a lot of Christians know that the person that keeps saying, oh, maybe later, they never find time. They never find time, or time gets away. And they die before they realize they lost time. An old man in my dad's church, he's worked at a concrete plant for 30 plus years, and he a lot of guys he's witnessing to and tell us, hey, pray for this guy, pray for this guy. And a lot of times he'll witness to him, and what he'll get is, when I get older. When I get older. Maybe when I retire, we'll give Jesus some time. Sad thing is, some of those guys, they died before that time came. And then he go talk to, and he had more than one guy do it. And I've heard of one time one of the men died. And I mean, it broke him, because here he is. He knows where he's at. Because he knows he never got right. And he tried to witness to him, and it's breaking his heart. And he goes to the other men, and he's like, look, he gave me the same excuse you gave me. And he ran out of time. And yet he still gets later. Later. I don't have time for Jesus right now. You know what else he's like? He's like the lost sinner who grew up in church. Heard all the preaching. Look, Judas sat at the feet of Jesus and heard him teach and preach. How many people sit in church, grow up sitting in church, hear the preaching and the teaching, but it's not for them? That's not for me. I don't need that. Get older, they leave. Never get right with God. They don't have to go to hell, but they choose to, because that's not for me. That's not for me. Or they're the lost sinner who grew up in church, had opportunity to get saved, but thought, I'll do it later. Or it never became personal. Never become personal. They go through the motions. They go through the actions. I know some guys, there are a couple people in Bible college that got saved. Praise the Lord. They finally came too. They were going through the motions. It wasn't personal. My brother's wife, she got saved in college. She'd been going to church her whole life. Finally hit her. I need that. I haven't done that myself. I've been going through all these motions, sitting here going to church, serving God. It's interesting. They're serving God, but they're lost. But, you know, they're trying to do good works, what they're doing. But the good thing is those folks, they came to and went, I'm going to take that because I need it. Just like it's sad that we go, man, Judas didn't have to. He didn't have to die in his sin. He was right there at the feet of the Son of God and yet chose to. How sad is it that someone will grow up in church? They know the gospel. They've heard it preached multiple times, and yet they'll still choose to reject Jesus Christ. And they die in their sin. That's sad. That's sad. That doesn't need to happen. Doesn't need to happen. Question tonight is, which of those three people are you? You're not going to be Jesus. He is perfect, all right? We'll get our perfect body one day when we get to heaven if you're saved, all right? But which of the other three men are you? If you're the repentant sinner, repentant thief, hey, praise the Lord. You're on your way to heaven. What are you doing for him? That guy was suffering on a cross and gave some effort to try to witness to the other guy dying. What are we doing? We're not suffering like he's. Are we trying to, hey, let's try and reach people. Let's try to get the gospel to folks. Are we doing what he did? Are we trying to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord and points others to Christ? Or is it, church is church, but my personal life, leave that alone. I'm going to do what I want to do. Our personal life should reflect Jesus Christ. It should point people to him. Are we grateful for that free gift of salvation that God has given to us? I was looking over this message and I just thought, I need to take some time right now. I just thinking about this stuff and I thought, Lord, thank you. Thank you for salvation. I don't deserve it. You didn't have to. I mean, we say, hey, if it's just one person got saved, Jesus would have died on that cross. Well, think about it. What if you were just that one person? Do you deserve it? Even if it's just you? I don't, but he would have done it. We need to thank him. Be grateful for what he's given to us because we were like that thief. We don't deserve. We deserve that death. We deserve to be on that cross. But we get to escape it. We get to escape hell. I hope you're here and you're not like the other two. I hope you're not the unrepentant thief or like Judas. Look, if you are, today's your day of salvation. Look, if you're saved, I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation, okay? You know. But look, at 5 years old, I made a profession of faith saying I was saved, and I was not saved. And at 9 years old, I realized I've got to do something about this. And you know what? I'm glad I did. I could have been a Judas who just went, no, I made a profession back then. No, I'm not going to do anything about it. And I think if I just kept putting it off and putting it off, my heart would have gotten hard. And that voice of the Holy Spirit whispering to me saying, hey, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. That would have been quieter and quieter and quieter. But I decided I'm not going to trust in that because that wasn't real. That was just lip service. I didn't mean a word I prayed back then. So, hey, if a 9-year-old or a college student, I don't know. You know your heart. Look, if you're like that, Judas, that you know it, you can quote it, but you've not made it personal. Look, tonight's the night. Get it taken care of. We just celebrated the birth of Christ yesterday. What better way to really celebrate his birth is the next day? Hey, get saved. Get saved. Because that's why he died on the cross. Don't make that death for naught. What's sad is every time someone dies and goes to hell, that him dying on that cross was for nothing. because they for them it was for nothing, because they would go to hell, and they didn't have to, because he already paid it for them. He already paid it for them. Hey, we're gonna have a time of invitation here in a moment. If you're not saved, get saved tonight. Come forward, talk to me. We'll get somebody with you. Show scripture. Christian, maybe you just need to come down and say, hey, Lord, thank you for my salvation. God, help me to be a better witness. Hey, we got a new year coming. Well, there's always New Year's resolutions being made, right? You got to lose weight, or, you know, I'm going to work out more. There's all kinds of things that people, some silly, some serious. How about I'm going to witness more for you, Lord? I'm going to try to do this. Man, is that a spiritual goal? That'd be a good thing. Is that a spiritual goal? You know what? Come down to this altar and say, Lord, next year, this is what I'm going to do. Help me, God. Help me to be a better witness for you in this new year. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Dear Lord, help us to take these examples and remember them, God. Help us as Christians to serve you better. The thief on the cross and all that pain could still point someone else to Christ and say, hey, you need to get right. Lord, help us to do that too. Help us to be more bold Christians to this lost and dying world and try to point others to Jesus. Lord, if there's anybody here that's not saved, help them to get that taken care of tonight. Today's a day of salvation for anyone that isn't saved. Lord, have your will and way in this invitation tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.